The reading is taken from Joel chapter 2, but starting to read at verse 21. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and later rain as before. The threshing floors should be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, the second reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 26. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear is not what life more than food, is not worth more than life than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or reap or stow. I have to take my glasses off, sorry. I think it's a bit too near. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you or little of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Andrew, and thank you to Joe and Carol for reading today. That's lovely. I wonder, are you a worrier? Our gospel reading was part of Matthew 5 to 7, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's a very famous section of Jesus' teaching. And I've had people say to me, Vicar, I live by the Sermon on the Mount. It's wonderful teaching. I think they probably mean that bit, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Matthew 7, verse 12, the next chapter, actually, what we call the Golden Rule. But there's plenty more than that to the Sermon on the Mount, as we've just heard from Carol, this passage today, which you could summarize as, do not worry. God will provide for you. And that sounds lovely, doesn't it? Until you actually try to do it and put it into practice. For example, why do we have empty shelves in our supermarkets from time to time? Why do people panic buy? We do that, don't we? Already this week, there's a rush on turkeys, would you believe? People thinking there won't be enough turkeys for Christmas. Just in case farms can't deliver enough. Don't worry, because Wilshire's have promised that they will have posh turkeys for you. If you want them, they'll still be there. And again, why do we throw away vast amounts of food, fresh fruit and veg, every week? Why do we buy so much often more than we can possibly eat. Have you seen the shopping trolleys piled high in supermarket checkouts? Then again, do you check out the fashion industry? Follow what Kate Middleton or the A-list celebrities are wearing? How many outfits do you have in your wardrobe? And then again, why are there fuel queues? People fighting on garage forecourts, people hoarding fuel, stocking up in case what? After filling up their car this week, one person started filling a black bin bag with petrol. Can you believe it? Nuts. I wonder, are you a worrier? Many of us are, aren't we? Worriers, anxious, trying to protect ourselves against hunger, cold. But most of us have not really been hungry or cold in living memory. We actually have the opposite problem. We actually need to eat less and to turn down the thermostat. We're worrying to the point of being unhealthy, worried to death, as the phrase goes. With apologies to Christopher, the insurance industry is booming because we worry. We're insuring ourselves often against minor risks unnecessarily. We need to worry less to get our heart rate down. And Jesus here is actually saying worry is a sin. How's that, Jesus? Well, because we're designed to live under God, not under piles of stuff. To trust in God, not in credit cards and stockpiling. Our phones and TVs are feeding us a diet of news anxiety, with breaks for adverts, all trying to persuade us to get more, to buy more stuff, to consume more. Jane and I are trying to have a clear out at the moment, and it's not easy. It's really not easy. So how do we simplify? How do we cut down on the amount we consume? Well, listen to Joel that Joe Clark read to us. God provides such an abundance for his people. In lockdown, the land benefited from the lack of traffic. Cars and aeroplanes stood still on the tarmac, and it was as if the earth breathed again. I can remember in March 2020, walking down the middle of the A120 in broad daylight, not a car in sight. Now, in normal times, that's a rare experience, even at 3 a.m. in the morning. But it felt as if the planet was relaxing and breathing again. In 3 weeks' time, in November, COP26 will take place, the 26th United Nations Conference on Climate Change, 26 of them. And I get the feeling that this one is crucial. I think we need to pray for the human race and the way that we treat God's beautiful creation. We need to use less, waste less, damage less, and then appreciate more, enjoy more, give thanks more. God has made us responsible on earth for his creation, but sometimes it seems as if we just don't care. As Joel puts it, "Be not afraid, O land, be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be glad, O people, rejoice in the Lord, for he has given you abundant showers and rains, grain, wine, and oil. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other." My wife Jane said to me, "Well, how do we actually apply this in practice? How might we actually care for the earth, for the planet?" So I'm actually going to be a little interactive and just throw it open. What are your suggestions? How can each of us play our part? What can we do? Maybe some of the younger folk here have some ideas. I know in school you do a lot of those sort of studies. How can we actually care for the environment, the planet, the ecology a bit better Any bright ideas? Give me an idea or two. Walk more. I like it. Yeah, I meet no end of people who drive 100 yards in their car. Yeah, walk more. Thank you, Tim. Yeah. Consume less. Right, just cut down a bit. When you go to the shops, it's very easy to think, oh, and another of those. Yeah. Consume less. Thank you, Christopher. Any other bright ideas? Sorry? Right at the back. Sorry? Recycle. I like it, yes. Actually, recycle things. Use them again, or perhaps put them in the recycling collection. Sorry, one over here. Yeah, fuel. Only buy what you absolutely need. Yeah, thank you. Flo, I'm just asking people what are good ideas for saving the planet, for doing good things? Yeah. Audrey's got one. Don't keep buying new. Yes, thank you. Wear your clothing more for a longer time. Yeah, thank you. Flo. Turn the lights off. I like it, yes. Because we're given daylight and sunlight, aren't we? And it's good stuff. It's good for your vitamin D, yeah.
I know sometimes if I fry an egg at home, my Steve likes an egg sandwich, and then as I fry the eggs, halfway through I turn the gas off so it's still sort of cooking the egg.
Oh, I like it.
Like that. Make sure it's cooked, but it's still sort of cooking.
That's going to be more important this winter when the gas prices shoot up, isn't it? Yeah, turn the gas off halfway through, it keeps cooking. Yeah, thank you, Ali. Flo. Don't eat too much food, save your food. Does that apply to sweets as well? Yeah, I think it does, doesn't it? Yeah, just checking. We have a problem with chocolate in our household, yeah. Yeah. Any last ones? Any other good ideas? Buy local. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So if you're buying strawberries in December, there's something wrong. It's not right. Yeah. Buy local. Thank you, Christopher. And perhaps buy in season as well. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Wonderful. If you're naturally a worrier, I have good news and bad news. The bad news is Jesus is very, very clear that worry is a sin. Anxiety is not only bad for our heart rate, but it's bad for our trust in God as well. Because we imagine, don't we, the very worst possible outcomes instead of God's good provision. But the good news is that we can change all that. I remember a course on prayer I went on once, and the speaker was talking about contemplative prayer, you know, where you just sort of focus on God's goodness. And he said it's the same process as worry, but you're just replacing thoughts of disaster with thoughts of God's goodness, his grace. So the next time your brain goes into overdrive, perhaps late at night when you can't get to sleep, and what's troubling you goes round and round and round in your head without stopping. Some of you know that experience, don't you? Try this. Try replacing that troubling thought with God's creation, God's goodness, what he's done for you in Jesus, perhaps even in answer to your prayers. Paul says to the Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you read your Bible, you'll be reminded about all that God has done for you, done for us all. If you find nature inspiring, perhaps turn in your imagination to your favourite place and thank God for that. Maybe for you it's music or art or sport. We all have something that inspires us, don't we? So give thanks for that. Think about those things. Replace worry and anxiety with praise and thankfulness, and you'll feel your heart rate go down, your soul relaxing. So gratitude is good for us. And that's actually one of the themes of harvest time, isn't it? Thanking God for all his good gifts to us. So there you go. That's the harvest spirit. Amen.